President Bush this weekend struggled to maintain his political momentum following a week of considerable success and equal embarrassment. Mr. Bush could boast that about 70% of eligible voters turned out to cast ballots in Iraq, albeit on a day made peaceful by a nationwide lockdown. But the president did not get to bask for long in the news from Baghdad. On Friday, the New York Times published a report that Mr. Bush had authorized the National Security Agency to wiretap phones in the United States without warrants. That touched off repercussions on Capitol Hill and contributed to a Senate filibuster that blocked renewal of the Patriot Act. Yesterday morning, the president was compelled to set aside a planned speech on the Iraqi elections and instead used his weekly radio address to defend the secret eavesdropping.
This authorization is a vital tool in our war against the terrorists. It is critical to saving American lives. The American people expect me to do everything in my power under our laws and Constitution to protect them and their civil liberties. And that is exactly what I will continue to do so long as I'm the President of the United States.
Democratic Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin took issue with the president in a prepared recorded statement made available by the Senate Democratic Communications Center.
The president believes that he has the power to override the laws that Congress has passed. But this is not how our democratic system of government works. The president does not get to pick and choose which laws he wants to follow. He is a president, not a king. On behalf of all Americans who believe in our constitutional system of government, I call on this administration to stop this program immediately and to fully cooperate with congressional inquiries and investigations. We have had enough of an administration that puts itself above the law and the Constitution.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving is in the studio this morning. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Leanne.
What a week this has been.
And it just keeps on happening. The president's going live to the nation tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time to make his case on what's going on in Iraq. The vice president has already landed in Baghdad, where he's visiting with troops and making that point as well. The secretary of defense, Donald Rumsfeld's going on the road and on the offensive in this coming week, all trying to refocus the attention of the nation on the success of the Iraqi elections. I think they're going to talk about troop drawdowns. I think we're going to see the troop levels there in the weeks ahead coming back down to the 138,000 level that the Pentagon has been talking about as sufficient. And as these stories compete for attention, the story from Iraq on the elections and the story in the United States about eavesdropping, we're going to look for what will be remembered, the milestones that we'll mark in retrospect. Right now, it's hard to say whether the elections or the NSA story will loom larger in time, but both of them are potential watersheds in the battle for public opinion.
The wiretapping story is certainly not going to go away because there are many on Capitol Hill, including Republican Senator Arlen Specter, a prominent voice, who are calling for investigations. Now, the president has said, he said yesterday that members of Congress had been briefed about the wiretapping. So what kind of repercussions might there be in Congress?
Arlen Specter is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's the natural place for a discussion of constitutional issues. If the president is asserting that he can make these calls as to what is constitutional and legal without reference to a court or to Congress, that's the place to discuss it. And I would say that if Arlen Specter has hearings, this story has legs.
Now, talk about the Patriot Act, because technically it did not get defeated in the Senate, correct? It was a bipartisan group of senators blocking a vote on it. So is the measure dead?
No. It is still the official business, in fact, before the Senate when they return to work. And officially, it's a compromise bill that has emerged from negotiations between the House and the Senate. It's designed to renew the Patriot Act with all 16 of the temporary expiring provisions intact. And it's all been negotiated, and it was supposed to be a done deal until just the last week or two. And in some form, I suspect it will be extended, whether it's for 3 months or a year, or whether it gets the full permanent renewal that the president is seeking. It's highly unusual to see even a handful of senators mount a filibuster at this point in the process, where they're right at the very end. And they needed 41 votes to sustain this tactic. They got 47 with a handful of Republicans involved. So Russell Feingold, in this case, has gone from being an army of one to being nearly half the Senate.
Talk a little bit more about another Republican senator, John McCain. There was this face-off between him and Mr. Bush. The White House was launching an effort to block the measure that was sponsored by McCain to ban the use of torture by the American government, but they couldn't count on all the Republicans on Capitol Hill on this one either, and the president finally decided he would rather switch than lose, and he agreed to accept the torture ban. So what does this mean? Is there a break in the loyalty to the president?
Perhaps the lockstep loyalty is gone at this point. Now, let's remember, on every issue except one or two, the president commands big majorities of the Republicans in Congress and can usually prevail easily. But McCain's torture ban was popular right from the start. In the Senate, it got nearly 90 votes. We were actually looking at veto-proof margins in both chambers of Congress. So Bush was confronting at this point really the first veto of his presidency. He's never vetoed a bill. Number two, it would have been a veto of a defense bill in the midst of a war. Number three, it would have been a veto in defense of our right to use torture. And then number four, there was a good chance he would have been overridden. So that was a loser on a lot of fronts, and he needed to bail out on that one.
It's a working weekend for Congress. What else does Congress need to do before leaving Washington for the holidays?
It needs to finish the last of the appropriations bills. There are two remaining, one domestic spending bill, the biggest one of all, and that's hung up over a cuts controversy, whether or not they're cutting social programs too much. The other is the defense appropriations bill, the one that absolutely must pass to keep the troops supplied. And that's been hung up by the bedeviling issue of drilling in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge. That's the pet project of Ted Stevens, who is the senior Republican in the Senate. He's been working at it for 25 years. He thought he had it done this fall. And it was originally riding on another bill, but when it blocked passage of that bill, they moved it over to this absolute must-pass legislation. But there's enough opposition to it that it actually raises questions as to whether that bill will, in fact, be enacted. So that's really the main business that's still before them. The Senate's not even going to touch that immigration bill that the House passed on Friday night. They're not going to consider that until February.
Finally, Ron, newspaper columnist Jack Anderson died this past week. Does it feel to you as almost, I don't know, the passing of an era?
Yes, it does indeed feel like the passing of an era, but it's an era that may have passed some while ago. We were just reflecting that at one time Jack Anderson appeared in 1,000 newspapers. 1,000 newspapers with 40 million readers. And this was a column that dated back in the hands of Drew Pearson, its originator, all the way to the Roosevelt era. Jack Anderson started working for him in 1947. He took over the column in 1969. They did muckraking investigations, many of which were monuments. Of course, the biggest ones were in the 50s and the 60s and 1970s. And that was a time when presidents actually feared newspaper columnists.
NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Ron, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne.